News and information that matters to you. This is Straight Talk.
Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into a sun-drenched old town, Rock Hill. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tika Cay, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. Well, he's back, Dr. Robert Leslie, and we ain't talking medicine. Well, maybe we are indirectly. He's got another book out, Angels on Call, and that'll be our topic today on our Straight Talk program made possible by Carolina First. Carolina First, where we take your banking personally. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. So no matter where you are in this great big old planet of ours, if you can get online, you get right back to your hometown radio station. All you have to do is to key in WRHI.com. And our thanks to today's co-sponsors, Jim Pallone, Edward Jones Investments in Old Town. If you need, a battle plan for retirement, maybe weddings. You could talk us a little bit about weddings, couldn't you, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
They are expensive, are they not?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, if you need, some ideas on how you're going to get from point A to point B financially, you need to sit down and talk with Jim Pallone right here at Edward Jones Investments in Old Town, making sense of investing. And by the Old Town Bistro itself. Don't forget their $6.95 lunch special, sandwich, super salad, and a drink, all for $6.95 right here at the Old Town Bistro. Casual dining and a great meal right here on Main Street. And I'm always tickled to have you back here on the show. You're an interesting fella. How are you?
I'm good, and it's fun to be back here with you.
All right. Now, for those who have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, hard as that is to believe, tell them a little bit about Dr. Robert Leslie.
Well, my wife and I have been here in Rock Hill since 1981. We've raised our four children here, worked for a lot of years in the emergency room at Piedmont Medical Center, first at the old York General. And then in 1986, my partners and I built Riverview Medical Center, and that's where I am now, full-time, working out there.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Now, what you haven't told people is that besides being a highly skilled emergency room physician, you also have had other interests that involve writing. You did a column for a number of years for the Charlotte Observer, I believe.
Right.
And then, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you wrote your first book?
That's correct. I've been putting some stories together, some from my experiences in the ER, and a couple of years ago, I found an agent who believed in what I was doing, and he found a publisher, Harvest House Press, out of Eugene, Oregon, and our book came out August of 2008.
All right, and the book was called Angels in the ER.
Angels in the ER, right.
And I tell you what, it's a series of short stories about based on patients who had come in that you had treated. Just fascinating stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed reading the book. I just really enjoyed it. Brought tears to my eyes on a number of those stories.
Well, thanks. They were true stories, and just people that had something to teach me. Some of them are very very serious, somber, and some were painful to recall. But some of them are funny too. Obviously, we see a lot of things in the emergency room, and there's stories there that I think that teach each of us something. I have to be careful with names. If you remember, I couldn't use your name when I wrote about, I better not mention that one.
I tell you what, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I want you to pick one of those stories from Angels in the ER just to give a flavor to those people who may not have read the book yet about the contents of that book. Can you think of one?
Well, I'm asked that frequently, what's my favorite chapter, what's my favorite story, and one of the most meaningful to me was I went upstairs to pronounce a patient dead. That was one of the things we did from the emergency room at 2 in the morning. If someone expired upstairs, their family doctor sometimes would ask us to go up, make sure, check their vital signs, but document the time of death. It was never a pleasant thing to do. this particular night, I went upstairs. I didn't think anybody was there. All the family members were supposed to have been have left and gone home, and I checked the guy's pulse and respirations and made a note, and I just stood there for a moment, and then out of the corner of the room, the room was darkened, his son started speaking, and he was sitting there, and we started talking, and he was having a difficult time, of course. And I used that. I reflected on my own experience with my father and with his death, and that was a very, for me, a very. It was a difficult chapter to write, and I still, when I read it, I still cry. I still brings tears to my eyes. But that was very meaningful, and I was able to share that with this person, and we talked for a long time. But that was one of my. That's one of my favorite chapters.
And I tell you what, as I say, there's like, I don't know, 14 or 15 different stories in Angels in the ER, and it's a book that you can go back and reread. Matter of fact, I might just pull it out and reread it again because it's good stuff.
That might be good.
Good stuff. Okay, so you got yourself an agent. You and the agent agreed we're going to do this book. And then it's up to the agent to go peddle it to a publisher and, you know, spread the word across the lands. It's all about how many of these things you can sell. How successful was the book?
Well, I asked our publisher. I had no idea about these things. And I said, what makes a book a success as far as numbers of sales? And he said, if you can sell 30,000 copies of your book, that would be a success. Most first-time authors publish maybe, they'll sell maybe 5,000 copies, and that would be okay. I didn't have any idea of how this would work. I thought it was a worthwhile endeavor. I liked what I had done, and it was the kind of thing that I want my grandchildren and great grandchildren to read. When I'm gone, they'll understand what I did, what I was about, and that was really my goal. And when I sit down and write, that's what I do. I'm writing to unborn great grandchildren. But it turns out that the book found an audience, and as of today, it's sold almost 200,000 copies, which is certainly surprised me. I guess it just goes to show there's no accounting for taste. But it has sold all over the country, Canada, England, the Philippines. I get emails from all over the world, and most of them are... You know, they're really meaningful and they're fun to read. But it is done very well, and they came to me, our publisher, and wanted me to do another one.
All right, before we leave Angels in the ER, you always hear about a book being on the New York Times bestseller list, that kind of stuff. Does that get you that kind of distinction with 200,000 copies?
Well, it's not on the New York Times bestseller. This is a different Harvest House Press. They're a Christian publishing house, and probably the third or fourth largest in the world. And so the venue may be a little bit different. I'm not sure that the New York Times publishes or lists their number one Christian books. This clearly is a It's a spiritual look at the emergency room, and there's, I'm writing from a standpoint of being a Christian, and in fact, we had an agent early on who looked at this and said, I think I know exactly what to do with it. I've got a friend of mine who needs another book for her list for the public schools in some tri-state area out in the Midwest, and I said, well, wait a minute, is this a public school system? He said, well, I think so, but if we can do this, it'll sell thousands. And I said, well, you're welcome to talk to it, but remember, my book contains the name of Jesus in it. And if you're talking about public schools, I'm not so sure that's going to work. He said, oh, sure. And he called me back 2 days later and said, we need to look elsewhere for a publisher. So that part has been an interesting experience too. I've been on talk shows, not nearly as exciting as this one.
Thank you.
But radio talk shows all around the country. I was sitting in my office at the clinic, but with Christian broadcasters, and it is that has been a lot of fun. And live call-in radio. Now, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I just hope Lucille Harper didn't call in.
You're lucky we don't take calls on this show.
I know. I think
the guests are so compelling that we don't have enough time.
Well, I'm just happy for that.
All right. So you had a lot of success with Angels in the ER. And the book is still available. All you got to do is go to Amazon, I guess. Or
Amazon,
or
Barnes & Noble.
Whatever.
Right.
And I would highly recommend it. It's just a bunch of short stories that are very, very meaningful. All right. So your agent says, hey, let's do this again. And so here you are. You've got a second book out called Angels on Call. Now, what is this the same type of book, a series of short stories?
It is. It's a... My editor asked me if I had more stories, and I said, Paul, I spent 20 years in the ER. I've got lots of stories. And as I sat down, I realized I certainly had not used my best ones in the first book. There are a lot of things that have happened to me through the years. And so this is a sort of a continuation of Angels in the ER. But in this book, I introduce a son who is a sort of a combination of my two boys, who spends time with me in the ER. And it allows me to develop some ideas. He's 21, 22 years old, trying to decide whether he wants to go into medicine. He's not in every chapter, but it allows me the opportunity to develop some thoughts. He's asking questions. I'm looking at some of these things through his eyes, who have never seen some of the things that we see in the ER. So that was a lot of fun. I think the last chapter of this book, to me, is the most meaningful to me. And it has to do with a gentleman who has pancreatic cancer and is dying. And he's upstairs in the hospital, and I want my son, Zach, to meet him. And so we go up and meet him, and we talk to him. And this fellow is an old Scotsman who has quite a interesting look on life, and is a man of faith. And there's some interesting discussions there. And I'm not going to say anything more about it, except that having my son there with me in the book allows me to share some thoughts that I would not have been able to otherwise. So that's a little bit different in this book. There's some crazy stories in it. There's some. There's one chapter entitled "Gone" that my wife won't read again, because every time she reads it, she can't sleep for a week or so. It's that disturbing to her. But there's some funny stories too.
Now, this book has been how long in the making? I mean, these are all stories that are part of your life. I mean, have you kind of kept a record of these things as you go along? I mean, as you experience them, or are you just drawing completely off of memory?
That's a good question, Manny. I draw off of memory, and I've been blessed with the ability, if somebody raises an issue, whether it's grief, whether it's child abuse or sudden infant death, I will remember three or four or five cases, individuals, circumstances. I can remember the room. I can remember the people. I can't remember names. I barely know my children's names. But I can remember that, and it came to my mind, and I realized that this illustrates the point that I want to make. And so, again, I've worked 20, 25 years in ERs here in Rock Hill, but also in Charlotte at CMC. But some of my best material, if you want to call it that, comes from Pickens, South Carolina, Chester. I did a little moonlighting in Chester. There's always interesting stuff going on in Chester. Lancaster, Lawrence, some of the small ERs I used to moonlight in when I was a resident, and then worked in a little bit after that. But lots of stories, lots of interesting people.
But now that you're writing on what seems to be a regular basis, do you find yourself, when you hit an interesting case, making a little couple of notes someplace?
So, sometimes I do that. But mainly I'm finding ideas. Somebody will mention something. Somebody, a patient, will say something about something that's bothered him And I'll make a note and you know, realize that that's a good idea. That's a good something to develop. Now, one of the things that my wife and I do every summer, we go up to Bonne Clarkin outside of Hendersonville, and she teaches Bible, and I'm the camp doctor at Camp Joy, which is a camp for special needs individuals. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful experience. My boys talked me into doing this 9 or 10 years ago. Robert and Jeannie Alexander do this. They've been trying to get us to go do it. When we finally did, it's a life-changing thing. And one night during chapel, during worship service, where the kids get together and sing, and the music director, George Fields, out of the clear blue, I forgot what song he was singing, but he said it was about forgiveness. And he just, out of the clear blue, said, you know, forgiveness is another word for love. And that struck me, and I pulled a pencil out of the back of the pew and wrote it down and used that. And I used it as a quote in my book. So there are things that happen, things that come my way that I've learned now. I'm not quite as old as you are. But my memory is not what it used to be, so I need to write things down. So when something like that happens, when there's some inspiration somewhere, I'll make a note and end up using it.
Interesting. So for those who obviously have not worked in an ER, my wife worked in an ER for a number of years when we lived up in Maryland, and the stories that she would bring home were just amazing. And yet she wasn't back there in the treatment room where you would be doing the kinds of things that you do, but there's almost an immediate bond between the patient and the doc, even though you all never had met each other prior to this crisis that's going on in the emergency room.
But you're right. Now sometimes that you might not necessarily want that bond. It depends on the alcohol level. But you're exactly right. I don't work in the ER anymore, and that's one of the things that I missed. The two things I really missed. Number one, the team, the family, really, of the staff there. We were blessed with a really good crew at Piedmont for a lot of years, and those are relationships that never really change. You're bonded by fire. You experience things that other people don't experience. The other thing I miss, more than that, is really taking care of sick people and injured people, but people who really needed help. And you're exactly right. In that circumstance, when people know they're in trouble and they know you're there to help them, there is a bond there. And that's a unique experience. I don't know, in whatever walk of life, that you experience that. And I've told my wife, I've told my kids, and I'll tell you that, you know, I feel very fortunate to have spent those years in the ER. It was hard. You know, I was working a lot of nights and a lot of weekends and long hours, but it was really a blessing to be able to, you know, to help some people and to share that, you know, some thoughts with them. And, you know, as I look back on it, that was quite an experience.
All right, so Angels on Call is now out, correct?
It came out the first this month.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. So too early to tell how she's doing. I mean, you're 30 days into it now. Have you got any reports from your agent as far as how the book's doing?
It's sold out a couple times. I think it's Shepherd's Fold here in town, and they have some more in stock. But one of my distributors of the book, Choice Distributors, they distribute all over the country. And I know that they, right off the bat, they bought 10 or 20,000 copies because they liked Angels in the ER so much. I spoke at one of their annual sales conference in Baltimore several months ago. Great people. But they're the ones who are out putting the books in airports and drugstores and grocery stores. They're distributing the book, and they are very high on it.
Now, despite the numerous radio interviews that you do from your office, do you go out and do book tours? I mean, where you'll go speak someplace or do an autograph session at Barnes & Noble or whatever?
I have, yes. Usually local in the state, around the state. I've spoken at Upstate Christian Writers Conference in Anderson, which was a lot of fun, several hundred people, and I was a keynote speaker, and they wanted me to play the bagpipe, too, so I got to do that. And again, I spoke with the Choice Books people. Now, Barbara and I went up to Boston last winter, right just a day before a huge snowstorm, and we went out and to two different colleges in the area, one north of Boston, one south of Boston, that I had been invited to come up and speak to their pre-med students. And that was a lot of fun. Both of them, both schools, the kids, 30, 40 students, had all read the book. They asked really piercing, pointed questions, you know, about the book, and was a lot of fun. So I've done that. That was a good experience. And I'm trying to line up an opportunity to go to Scotland and speak to somebody over there and use that as an excuse to go to Scotland. Yeah, that's right.
All right, we've got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from the Old Town Bistro here on Main Street in Old Town. Our program series made possible every week by Carolina First. Carolina First, where we take your banking personally. And our thanks to today's co-sponsors, the Old Town Bistro, filled home with a great meal and casual dining right here 7 days a week at the Old Town Bistro on Main Street in Old Town Rock Hill. And by Jim Pallone at Edward Jones Investments in Old Town. If you need a battle plan for your financial future, taking care of things like weddings and, you know, retirement and maybe a second house or a boat, whatever it is that you want to do, you got to sit down and figure out how you're going to come up with the money. Jim Pallone at Edward Jones Investments can help you here in Old Town, making sense of investing. Back after these words.
News, politics, and stories that matter to you. Straight Talk.
Wow. Hear that? It's your best friend reacting to your new outfit from The Gap. And that's cash back in your bank account. With Carolina First Relationship Rewards, you'll get up to 30% cash back on debit card purchases at over 100 of your favorite stores and online retailers, including Gap, Shoe Carnival, Foot Locker, BestBuy.com, OfficeMax, and more. So open your cash back checking account today and see how Carolina First is doing whatever it takes. Offers and merchants subject to change. Member FDIC.
Edward Jones can help you take back control of your old 401k and roll it over without taxes or penalties. To learn more, visit edwardjones.com or contact me, Jim Pallone, in Old Town Rock Hill at 980-5550.
Good Pharmacy provides total home health care. It's a complete program to offer you quality products, experienced consultants, delivery, and setup of durable medical equipment in your home. If you're caring for a loved one, let Good Pharmacy help. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road, Rock Hill.
The Old Town Bistro is one of downtown Rock Hill's most popular restaurants. Their family cooking, served in a casual and relaxed dining room, will make you feel right at home. Add attentive service and friendly atmosphere, and you've got the Old Town Bistro on Main Street, right in the heart of Old Town Rock Hill, open 7 days a week.
Channel 9 Eyewitness News, weekday evenings at 6 on WRHI, South Carolina's four-time radio station of the year.
And back we are here at the Old Town Bistro on Main Street in Old Town. Dr. Robert Leslie is with us from Riverview Medical Center, and we're talking about his other career, which is writing. He's got a brand new book out called Angels on Call that's been out for 30 days, doing very well, and 200,000 copies of the first one, Angels in the ER. We'll see how well Angels on Call. Tell me about some of the chapter titles that would give people an idea as to what's in the book.
Well, first of all, the title of the book itself, Angels on Call, what I deal with here, Manning, is the idea of who do you turn to when you're in trouble? Where do you turn when you need help? And all of us have people we turn to. Sometimes it ends up being the emergency room. But I ask the question also, who are we on call for? Who do we make ourselves available to? Which I think is a more important question. You know, who are we able to sacrifice our time and our talents for? Titles in the book of the chapters, as I'm looking down, there's one entitled Choose Life, and this has to do, there are two young women And one is struggling with cancer and battling, but her spirit is incredible. She wants to live, and she's doing everything she can to stay alive. She's just a beautiful spirit. And another young lady in this chapter is someone who, without giving this story away, who doesn't have that same commitment for life. And to juxtapose the two, I think was very meaningful, that they were so opposite in the way they looked at their existence. There's a chapter entitled The Face of Evil. A friend of mine called me just upset, and my son called me yesterday, and he just read it and was very bothered by it. And this was a story of a murder here in Rock Hill years ago, and the person who committed the murder. And I saw him in the ER with self-inflicted lacerations of his wrists, and the story goes on from there where I'm putting him back together. But this guy was absolutely evil, and what he did with that family and how it changed so many lives. But dealing with him was really bothersome. I've got a couple of funny ones here. Idle Hands, you remember the quote of the Devil's Workshop. And I guess I have to plead mea culpa. There's a few... there are a few famous stories about some of my shenanigans in the ER, and I write about a couple of them. Some tricks we pulled on people. Obviously, we didn't have patients to take care of, but when things were quiet at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then the chapter titled, My Will Be Done. Not Thy Will Be Done, but My Will Be Done, about a person who pursues a course of self-destruction, regardless of his family, of his wife, of people who care about him, trying to help him. And we watch that, experience that with him periodically through the ER until it finally is too late.
We're going to run out of time here, and we could go all through this. How long did it take you to write this book?
Probably a year. Again, mm-hmm. I'm full-time at the clinic, and I guess I write in fits and starts. I'll sit down and... We just got back from the beach, my wife and I did yesterday, and I wrote over 4 days, I wrote 2.5 chapters in my third book.
Ah.
So if I get away, I can focus and not distracted by local radio and things like that.
So we have a third book that's in the works.
Right.
We have a name for it yet?
Well, they want to stick with the theme of angels, but this is Angels to the Rescue, and it's true stories of firemen, policemen, and paramedics. True stories. I've talked to some incredible people here in town and elsewhere, and some incredible stories.
All right. So where is all this leading? I mean, I don't know how you can continue to be a full-time physician and still be an author with a growing interest in your books. I mean, you're obviously starting, at least for me looking at this, looking to move in another direction with all this?
Not really. I'm just following where it goes. And as long as I have fun writing and people enjoy reading what I'm writing, I'll keep doing it. I really don't know.
Interesting. You don't know. I can't fathom that.
You're right. those words should never have come out of my mouth.
All right. The book is called Angels on Call. It's available anywhere off of the internet, as you say, Shepherd's Fold over here, and
right.
I'm sure other places that you go to buy books, you can get it. And his name is Dr. Robert Leslie, and I would strongly suggest that you get the first edition, Angels in the ER, because that's the one I've read. I look forward to reading this one, and good luck to you, Robert. Can't wait to do another show for the new book.
Good. Well, thanks. It's always fun being here, Manny.
All right, Dr. Robert Leslie, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, live from the Old Town Bistro here on Main Street at Old Town, made possible by Carolina First. Carolina First, where we take your banking personally. And our thanks again to today's co-sponsors, Jim Pallone, Edward Jones Investments, and by the Old Town Bistro itself. That'll wrap up our Straight Talk program for this Tuesday afternoon. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio later. Bye.